Welcome to episode 203 of the Watching It podcast. On today's show, Donnell watches stupid stuff get made. On Robert's anime adventure, sometimes bag ladies are cute. And it's the beginning of the end of the beginning of a short 10-year adventure. The news and more. I'm your host, Robert, and with me is Donnell.
How's it going?
Going good.
Everything.
Going good.
Yeah.
For me, not for somebody else, unfortunately, which we'll talk about in a minute. Man. But first, tell me about some stupid stuff getting made.
So yeah, haven't watched too much out of the norm. I've been watching some Undead Unluck. Slowed down a little bit on it though, but watched some of that.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the dub to get filtered out. They're slowly getting it out there, but yeah, so much fun.
I can't talk
enough about it. It's a great anime. So alive in the animation wholesome, bloody.
Wholesome at the same time,
and then real weird, very weird, very fast,
very strange, over the top. But yeah, just a good anime. Watching my normal shows that I do, but I've been watching on YouTube. I've only watched like two of his videos recently, but he only puts them out every couple of months, and I've watched most of his other stuff. There's a YouTuber named Basically Homeless,
okay,
and his channel is all about. There's quite a few of these guys where it's like these people obviously like have really good tech skills and stuff, but you know, there's just YouTube you can do anything with. And so his channel is all about essentially making the most retarded gaming setups. I mean, there's other stuff. He does a lot of things with viruses and scammers too, but, I'm just going to, so his most recent video was the world's smallest gaming monitor, where he got one of his fans sent him a LCD screen that is like this big.
You have to say a centimeter
square.
Yeah,
sorry. It's like, maybe a square, 2 centimeters, maybe. And he...
What would that even be
puts
used
that
for?
I have no idea, but he puts it together with a Raspberry Pi and a couple of detachable joysticks and makes what he calls the world's smallest Steam Deck.
Yeah.
And he plays Minecraft on it.
It's the Ant IMAX.
When he's recording it, he literally has his camera hooked up into a microscope.
Yeah.
And he's like looking at it. But that was today. But some of the other stuff he's done is one that I actually first really started watching is he made a gas powered gaming PC that has a actual motor on it, and he has a gas pedal that he has to keep feeding to keep the computer running. And so he's got his gas, and it's running the whole time, and he always plays games online with people.
It's just a gas powered electric generator, right?
Yeah. But like during it, like he puts in like some car part that basically like charges up, or a little bit of a battery that charges up, because the first thing he ran into was like running out of gas while playing. And so he plays online with people, and so one is like, are we playing? People are like, dude, are you like in a like mechanics operator? Like, no, that's just my gas powered PC. And they're like, what?
I wanted to play a racing game
at one point. He's like, he's playing because he's like playing Counter-Strike. He's like, guys, I need you to cover for me. He's like, I gotta stop my car, my engine's almost out of gas. And they're like, what? It's like, I gotta fill it up with gas. He made a horse-powered gaming PC, which
this all sounds very fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then the last what I want to mention is he did, because everyone always talks about the heat from gaming PCs, and so the last one he did was he went camping in negative degree weather, and the only heat he had was a PC to heat his tent. And so he was sponsored by a computer parts store I gotta get to that level somehow, because like they let them just like get all the most insane parts for a PC to make the biggest, beefiest PC. And he had like 4 monitors and a generator to power it all. But he had like 4 monitors, he's like playing 4 games at once, and he's like, I could actually feel it heating up. And he had a little thermometer, so it was heating up.
Nice.
And then he left the games idling while he was trying to sleep, but then the PC burned out the generator and he started freezing. But it was like the most bizarre thing. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. He makes the dumbest videos.
Science.
Exactly. It's like you're learning some tech while
he's gonna stumble onto $1 billion idea is what he's gonna do.
But yeah, so just been checking that out. If you wanna check it out, give it a shot.
Yeah. Almost homeless?
Basically homeless.
Basically homeless.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
What, does he have a home?
Yeah, he has a house, and he does most of his stuff in his garage, except when he's, you know, doing the horsepower gaming PC and the camping.
Gotcha.
But yep.
Gotcha. So for me, before we get to the anime, I watched Three Body Problem.
I've been hearing good things.
Just came out this week. It must watch.
Okay.
Fantastic.
I remember before it came out, we were kind of discussing whether or not it could really be done well.
Well, I've tried to read the book before.
Right, right.
The book starts out very oddly. Like, every time I start it, and I'm doing it on book on tape, I'm just like, this is, it's just all about, like, the Chinese people's revolution, and I'm just like, what does this have to do with sci-fi and whatnot? Yeah, yeah. I don't understand. I do now. It's a Chinese novel,
mm-hmm.
based on a Chinese novel, the trilogy.
Yep.
And their literature doesn't necessarily translate. I shouldn't say translate as in like from English to China, but Chinese, but just their style,
right?
Of the stories are told are different.
Right.
Than you know the usual United States three act system, you know,
exactly
kind of thing. So it's different,
right?
So, for sure. But it's fantastic.
Nice.
It's a mystery show for the first part for sure, and then once they discover the mystery, you're like, oh crap, and then it gets like insane.
Mm, nice.
And I mean, silo level, maybe?
Ooh.
Maybe just below silo level.
Okay,
but real close.
That's something. That
real close.
Something.
There's probably going to be three seasons.
Right.
The first season follows the first book and the first quarter of the second book.
Okay.
Which is an odd choice, but it works. I've started reading the books. I'm halfway through the second book now.
Nice.
They make a lot of changes. Lot of changes. The basic plot is there. But just a lot, changing a lot of characters, removing characters, adding characters, perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It all works, except for one thing that I'll say, there is a enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mystery show, so I don't want to say too much.
Yeah.
And in the book, you get a lot of their motivation. You get to find out about what their thing is.
Yeah.
That is completely left out of the show.
Yeah.
Of the first season. And I think it's a major loss. But the show still works.
Yeah.
I watched the show without knowing anything about the book. Fantastic. I'm like, I got to go read these books. That does not happen to me very often.
I got to say, I mean, I get where you're coming from, but I think that's always one of the things. I'm not exactly sure how it's done in the book versus the show, but I'm just talking from other mediums where you kind of have that same thing of a loss of, you know, of somebody's perspective or stuff. And a lot of time it comes down to is the difference between mediums of shows and books. It's like in books, because you're allowed to be in people's minds and hear their thoughts and that sort of stuff, you get a lot more in-depth perspectives a lot of times where you can hear what that character's thinking. Where in a TV show, unless you're going to do, you know, a voiceover narration, like, you know, everything has to be acted out. And so, I mean, I could understand why that could be lost just because, it's telling it through a different
There's a lot of reasons I can see why they did that, but it completely changes the perspective of that thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they'll bring that into season two, but they're kind of like past the point where they got a chance to do the thing and show that perspective. But anyway, it's absolutely fantastic. Well acted, well made. The effects budget is insane.
Nice.
Just great, and everybody should go watch it. Yeah.
Right, I'm going to be checking that out.
I don't want to say too much because it's a mystery show, and I don't want to give a lot of details. Yeah.
I mean, maybe if I watch it this weekend and I give everybody a week to check it out.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we talk about it a little bit next weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, next recording.
Yeah, another week we can talk about it a little more for sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
So anyway, anime time.
Anime time.
I'm going to talk about two animes today.
Okay.
I watched seven this week. I'm watching them faster than I can talk about them, Donna.
No, I mean, you're never going to get through this list.
I was debating. I was going to try and dump a whole bunch of smaller ones today,
mm-hmm.
but we got a big one.
Okay.
So I'm going to do a small one that I just discovered this week and watched this week. It is called The Weakest Tamer Began a Journey to Pick Up Trash.
These names. These freaking names.
It is technically an isekai.
Yep, yep.
But it's
which
very
just
subtle.
Got added to the Webster's Dictionary.
Oh, very nice, very nice. I'm reading a dissertation on iskai. Like that, I'm deep. I'm deep, Donnell.
Robert
deep.
Has gone.
It's like the elements of this genre. Yeah,
he is done.
But it's very subtle. It's not like the character doesn't really remember being the person in the other world or whatever or reincarnation. Just every now and then we'll get like hints that will help in the journey. But it is about a girl who is in this world where people are born with abilities. You could have one or multiple.
Right.
And then each ability will have a star level basically how strong are you of 1 to 3.
Right. Okay.
She is at the age of 5 is when you find this out. You go to a holy man and they do a little spell. Mm-hmm. They find out what you are and what your star level is.
All right. Nice, right. Nice.
And it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. Coming of age kind of thing. So she goes, she finds out she's a tamer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the first time in history, 0 star level.
Mm.
Parents disown her, beat her mother, father, brothers, just almost beat her to death. Mm. The holy man tries to murder her with a hammer. Anybody who associates with her, they kill, drive her out of town.
They
barely escapes with her life at 5 years old.
This would sound like one of those
It is like a big deal that
all of a sudden this went
super cute.
Off a dark
super cute.
Cliff.
It has got a darkness level to it underneath, but it is super cute and super wholesome.
So anyway,
she ends up working with this medicine woman who teaches her how to like trap animals and survive and you know work with plants and all this stuff and herbs. And that lady gets killed because she associated with her, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she just goes into the forest to live as she's being hunted. There is a death.
Yeah.
There's a reward for her death.
Right.
A big one.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like everywhere she's going, she's seeing signs with her face on it. Like, dead or alive, bring this girl in. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's 0 star level.
Preferably
a big
dead.
Deal. So she goes and lives out in the woods and travels around. And there's all these trash piles everywhere. And she's digging through them for food and clothing and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And she's got all these bags of holding that are like weak level.
Mm-hmm.
She starts out with like 5 of them. At one point, she has like 50 of them. And she's like stuffing them inside each other because she's pulling all these weak, tattered bags of holding out of.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they've literally made a bag lady.
Yeah.
And she's just digging through the trash. Anyway, she finds this really super weak slime. That like is super rare because the wind can kill it. It's basically like a little raindrop hiding, falling, stuck to a blade of grass. And she tames it because that's the only thing she can tame because she's so weak. Anyway, it turns out to be awesome in a lot of ways.
Nice.
And she just travels around and traps animals. Like she makes a lot of money because she's trapping field mice. And rabbits and stuff, which no one else is trapping.
Yeah.
Because they're like all going after the expensive game. And she just traps a whole bunch of field mice because she's really good at it and goes and sells it in town for a bunch of money. And she just kind of builds a little life and gets, you know, she's wholesome and she's nice and people gather around her and she makes all these powerful friends. And it's cute and wholesome and nice. And I can't wait for more. Unfortunately, there is a manga, but it is. On hiatus right now or whatever. So, you know, it's going to be a long time before we get another season of the show.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Nice.
I love it. The other anime I'm going to talk about just ended. Frenrir.
Freyren.
Freyren. Freyren.
Freyren.
Frenrir.
I'm pretty sure it's Freyren.
Freyren Beyond Journey's End.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's hard to say.
Yep. So.
One of the greatest animes of all time.
I was about to say, they actually just put out like a list of best animes by like rating of all time and stuff. So like there's stuff on the list like you expect, you know, One Piece and stuff, some older animes, but number one, which shows how good it was, Freyren. Like even above long-standing animes that have history, like I said, One Piece and that sort of stuff, it beat everything. So like this anime has obviously,
it's so insanely good.
Just
it is unbelievable how good it is. First 4 episodes, cried for 2 hours straight watching it. 3 times I've watched these 4 episodes, cried for 2 hours all 3 times.
Damn.
It's so good. After those 4 episodes, it kind of settles into a more regular anime rhythm. And, you know, you just go from there. Animation is beautiful. Fantastic. The voice acting is amazing, both with the sub and the dub.
Nice.
It is the story about a team of warriors, a group of people that have just, they're returning from a 10-year adventure where they've just destroyed the big bad.
Yep.
Right? And they're coming back and they're celebrating and building statues to them and all this stuff. And they're like, okay, well, we've been on this 10-year adventure, time to disband the party.
Yep.
And there's a priest and there's a kind of a warrior hero guy. There's a dwarf and then there's an elf.
Yep.
And that's Freyren. She, at this stage, is 1,000 years old. And everyone's like, oh, we're going to miss you. You know, we spent the last 10 years together. And she's just kind of indifferent. She's like, this is 1/100th of my life.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, what are you going to do? And she's like, I'm just going to wander around for a bit.
Yeah.
Whatnot. So she goes and wanders around, comes back 50 years later to get something that she left with one of the guys. And he's like dying.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just first four episodes are just her just like it's really just shoots past like 80 years and her just watching these members of her party die.
Yeah.
And then her realizing I want to retrace the steps that I took on that adventure so that way I can remember them and all these things. And they, and she puts together her own party for various reasons. And it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Great. Lots of really great fight scenes, lots of good magic stuff. But yeah, it's just an interesting look of like, what do you do when you're immortal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they run into another, there's very few elves.
Yeah.
But they run into like another one who's like, I think one that we see is like 50,000 years old. And there's another one that may be several million years old. And it's just like, they're still looking like children.
Yeah.
Even though they do age. And it's like, oh man, you really think about that. Like she's just going through life watching all the evidence of her life prior to that just crumbling into dust as she ages. And it's so beautiful and amazing and great. Nice. And I can't suggest it enough.
On a non-beautiful note, but one of my all-time favorite depictions of immortality, though, will always be Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And the guy who accidentally makes himself immortal. Yeah. And they explain in Hitchhiker's Guide, like, if you're born immortal, your brain is built to cope with it. But this man, he accidentally made himself immortal. He doesn't know what to do. Does a lot of, like, random stuff, exploring stuff. And finally, he settles on his life goal of insulting everybody in the universe. And this is a universe with aliens and all that stuff. But everybody in the universe in alphabetical order. And he has a time traveling machine, and he just bounced around the universe. And when we're introduced to him, and he's been doing it for a while, our main character's name is Arthur Dent.
Yeah.
So he's still in A's, or he might be in D's. I can't remember if he's going by first name or last name.
I think he's in A's.
Like, yeah. So he's still in A's, but he's been doing this for quite a while. He's just literally traveling through time and space, going to find everybody in alphabetical order to insult them directly to their face. And then I'm just like, yes, that's exactly it. When you run out of stuff as a mortal, what do you do?
I mean, I'll say this. I've never been a manga guy, right? This is one where I was like, I gotta go read it. Nice. Right. The only time before that I read a manga was Naruto when I finally just got tired of waiting in that last season.
Yep,
you know?
Me too. I did the exact same thing.
And then recently Solo Leveling, which I haven't talked about in detail, but that'll be in a future episode where I'll talk about Solo Leveling. I just had to go read that anime immediately.
Right.
That manga. That one's done. The manga is.
Oh, it is.
It is complete. Nice. So, yeah, we're gonna get a... I hope we'll get another season. It's so popular.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah,
anyway, don't have time to talk about that. But, yeah, Frieren, still being published right now. And there's plenty. So, there's probably enough for probably one, maybe two more seasons that's out there right now. And they're putting out more. And there's no way this doesn't get a second season. I mean, it is so...
Oh, it's the biggest anime.
When this anime came out, it turned the manga into the greatest selling manga of all time.
It's killing it, man.
Aside from like One Piece, but One Piece is One Piece.
And it's been around forever, so it's going to be hard to pass that with something new.
Just absolutely insane.
Blows my mind how long One Piece is getting around, man. Freaking insane.
Let's do some news. I got a piece of news.
I'm going to start us out
with a sad piece of news.
Okay.
Lou Gossett Jr. died today. We were recording this on Friday the 29th, and he died today at the age of 87.
He had a good life or a long life.
He did. We know him from Enemy Mine.
Mm-hmm.
We know him from Watchmen.
Yep.
He was also in Roots. He was also in An Officer and a Gentleman. He was also in Stargate, SG-1.
Yes, he was.
We can't even go through his whole career.
No.
Amazing.
No,
what I didn't know is that he was the first black man to win Best Supporting Actor Oscar. I did not know that.
Nice.
But, yeah, what a loss. But, I mean, he had a full life.
He had a full life.
He's got
like
12 things coming out posthumously.
Damn.
He was working till the very end.
He was putting in. I was saying, like you were saying, you cannot. We would need maybe even two episodes to do his filmography.
Like, it's insane.
This man, he put it in, and he he enjoyed what he did, I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know. He definitely had made enough money, so I don't know why you keep acting into there unless you enjoy what you're doing. And yeah, sad to see him go. That's sad.
Yeah. Pour one out for the homie, Lou Gossett Jr.
Bringing down the mood in the room.
We got to talk about people who were in movies that we covered.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to.
Enemy Mine, a classic. Mm-hmm. Love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And his role in Watchmen, that was a really good like final role for him. Like, yes. Towards the end there. Yeah.
Yes.
So good.
Yep. All right. Well, I got some news. Both related to Invincible. Both kind of meta to the episode we're going to talk about.
Oh.
So one is Invincible Season 3.
Okay.
We don't have any official date, but in an interview with the direct, I don't know what it is, but the creator of it said Amazon picked up 2 and 3 together. So we are already deep into the production of Season 3 at this point.
All right, well, we better get it soon because I can't wait.
He said, so I can't tell you exactly when, but I can tell you it won't be the same wait between season 1 and 2. We're already in progress with season 3, and it's coming along great. He also later said, half the fun of season 3 is like, oh my God, we have to deal with all the stuff that happened in season 2 and its ramifications, which I know, like, one is it's telling us, I mean, we have, what?
One more episode.
Yeah, it's telling us, I mean, we already know this, but especially with one episode, but it's telling us, like, yeah, season 2 was just setting up.
Yeah,
everything, and season 3 will be addressing some of that. So yeah, just it sounds like, I mean, if they're already in production, I imagine that means, you know, hopefully this year we're gonna wrap on production, and then hopefully like later this year we can be doing all the editing and all that stuff. Or maybe we get season 3 around the same time we got season 2 this year. Or maybe at least maybe,
I can't wait that long.
I need this
in like summertime. Well, we're in summertime.
No,
I need
it's
this
not going to be this
at the
year.
End of the summer.
They're in production. It's not going to be this year. Even editing, especially in animation, as we'll talked about in this episode, editing takes a lot longer than the actual making of the content. Yeah.
Look, I don't need the lips moving. I just need the story.
We need more scenes from behind Mark's head.
I need the story. That was so great. Hey, we'll talk about that. But.
And then the other bit of news is, and we just saw this character again for the first time this episode, and I didn't know in season 1 he was voiced by the person, but we saw D.A. Sinclair, who, you know, made the, I forget what they're called, the robot men that could attack Viltrumites.
Okay.
We saw him for the first time in a brief scene. I didn't know this originally.
No, I thought we saw him before.
Did we see him before in the season?
Yeah, no, in the last season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, in the last season.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about we saw him for the first time this season.
Okay, gotcha, yeah, yeah.
And the reason why that matters is I didn't realize in the first season, and it's just more, I guess, more fallout from his bad decisions, in the first season, he was voiced by Ezra Miller.
Oh.
Who is no longer voicing him. He's been replaced by Eric Bauza, who's voicing him now. I meant to look him
up. He's a side character. You can change his voice. I didn't even notice.
Exactly. But that's my thing. I just never knew.
You change Cecil's voice, I will end this world.
Oh, yeah, no. Eric Bauza does a lot of, obviously, animation stuff. Does a lot of voices. He's been in Alvin and the Chipmunks. He's been in a lot of Looney Tunes stuff. Been in some Scooby-Doo. So he's been around. Been in a lot of Batman, too, I'm seeing. But yeah, so just a known voice actor. And yeah, he's taken over the role of D.A. Sinclair.
Good for him.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. Just never... Never knew it was Ezra Miller who did the voice of that character.
Yeah, I didn't know either. He's an unimportant character.
Yep. Well, I mean,
he's an important character.
I see he's kind of important because of what he's making.
He's more important than another character that was in this episode.
I just felt like Donald would have something to say about that after what happened with Rick. Where he's like, oh, he's got that man downstairs. But, you know, we'll talk about that in a second. But, yeah, that's it for my news.
Let's take a break
Doesn't top Robert's sad news, but, yep, that happened. But
hey, I don't bring news often, but what I do is hard.
Anyways, yeah, we're going to take ourselves a quick break, recompose ourselves, and we'll be back with Invincible Season 2, Episode 7.
Invincible Season 2, Episode 7, I'm Not Going Anywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell that title's about. Nope. I watched this whole episode being like, when are they going to say it? Yeah. When are they
going to
say
it? Yeah, or who's not going anywhere? Because, I mean, very clearly people are going somewhere by the end of this.
Lots of people are going somewhere. Start out at a comic book convention.
Yep. I realize comic book conventions are weird in the superhero universe.
Yes.
Because, like, not just Mark dealing with, like, people dressing up as him, but also my question is this, because, like I said, we had those people dressing up as Mark. Mm-hmm. And so the scene started with a villain, Grom, attacking some civilians, which turned out to just be a photo op. And my question is there a real Grom out there?
There's just like, definitely there a real Grom out
and
there.
And so I'm like, how does real Grom...
I think they fought him in season one.
Maybe. That's what I'm thinking. First half of season two. You know, Mark, you know, he's a hero. So, you know, people dress up at him. He's like, he's not going to retaliate. But how does real Grom feel about that? So I was just like, you're out here risking your life being Grom at a Comic-Con. But Grom gets out of jail, might come kick your door in one day and blast your face off because he considers it an insult. So I'm just like, Comic-Cons are a different beast in a superhero universe.
There's an anime I watched this week called Mrs. Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, which I'm going to talk about on another episode in detail. But basically, she has a maid that's a dragon. But in like human form, but she's got like a tail and wings, and they go to like an anime convention. But she's like, oh, I can just walk around and nobody's gonna say anything because everybody's got wings and tails and all this stuff. And then like she's looking around and she's like, there's a lot of monsters here. Like there's a lot of real monsters here. And they're like, they're all hanging out and they're just like, yeah, we could just be ourselves.
Nice.
So he's hanging out with Amber.
Yep.
You know, they're doing the date stuff and hanging out at the comic book convention. And he gets in line to go see the writer of Seance Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we get just a fantastic...
One of the best meta animation jokes ever. Fantastically done.
Great talking about the difficulties and because Mark asked like how long to the next season and he was like it's good might be a bit because animation takes time and the editing it's like we do all these things that people don't notice like covering people's mouths or it's just like
shooting from the back of the head
as he says everything he says shots. They keep doing it and it's just that was just a masterstroke that was fantastic
really
like,
good
nice
But fast forward we get to Rex on a mission he has snuck out of the hospital
I mean I guess like I said this is Cecil and stuff and he's a hero on top level but I'm like this is some great technology you got half your brain blown out and you're already up on your feet fighting
well
the
we
dude.
Don't know how what the time frame is here but
I guess I mean it can't be too long because remember the last episode Mark was talking about you know trying to stay in college and how he had to meet with the dean and then this episode he meets with the dean and I imagine the dean didn't wait another month to meet with Mark again so just saying this is they got some top level tech
I'm sad that Octoboss got destroyed I could have used some more Octoboss
he was great
he does word good
Why
use more word when less do fine
I mean, he got the point.
Look, he's an octopus Cthulhu monster from the ocean. He's taking the time to learn our language.
Exactly.
His little minions have not.
They have not.
He's doing his best.
He's doing his best.
He's doing his best, and Rex is making fun of him about it. You know.
I mean, Rex does come around.
I mean,
and say thank
guy,
you, yeah, but he does does actually say thanks for at least you know taking the time to learn our language badly. But I just while watching this, I just realized for two things, Rex is a worse Gambit. And because I mean, they both the reason why I say that is for two things. One is Rex as himself, like while Gambit was basically the same thing as he can empower items and blow them up. Gambit also knew some martial arts, which Rex does not. Gambit knew how to fight with a bow staff. And the other side of that coin is the worlds that they're living in, the power scale. Like, don't get me wrong. There are people of invincible world power in the Marvel universe, but there's a lot more street level or just kind of threatening villains out there that where Gambit can step in with a bow staff and some small bombs. But as we see with this Octoboss, like Rex's explosions barely even hurt him. And I'm like, there's a lot of people on the extreme durability. I'm like, there's a lot of people on the extreme durability in the invincible world where I'm just like, unfortunately, like while Rex has powers, I'm just like, they're not. While everyone thinks Gambit is cool also because of his personality, I'm like, that's because Gambit can at least do some stuff. I'm like, I'm sorry, Rex. Like, he's having one of the best. I even saw an article talking about it. He's having one of the best character arcs of anybody in the series where he's just become a guy where is in season one, I'm like, dude, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
And in season two, you're like, man, Rick's a good guy. I'm glad he's here. Like, you're just like, I'm glad he's around. I'm glad when they blew his brains out, he's able to come back.
Speaking of Gambit, this was another great week for an episode of X-Men 97. Yes. They brought in Mr. Sinister, mm-hmm. which is one of my favorite villains.
Oh, he's such a great villain.
Yeah. He's got a good story from the mm-hmm. first one. Anyway. But Rex has his hand back, too.
Yes.
And he's got upgrades.
He got a new hand.
He got a hand cannon.
Hand cannon.
What if his other powers matter?
Yeah. I love how he even says, and then seems like, I'm going to start with this next time, which he definitely should, because like I said, the power scale in this world. But another thing, and I guess like I said, they got great technology, is there's no way, when Octoboss has smashed him into the ground, like his ribs are broke. I'm glad that they got that tech, because he just got out of the hospital and go right back in.
And also, like, did you notice Octoboss? He got a hand cannon too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
mm-hmm.
got a hand cannon. Where's Donald's hand cannon?
I know. One thing I got to say also, talk about Rex's character arc. Like, Rex takes being saved by Mark very well.
Yeah.
Like, old Rex would have been all ego and upset and stuff, but he takes it very well, and he thanks Mark and everything, and he seems to know, like,
bullet to the head will do that, man.
He's just a grown character. He has grown quite a bit.
Grew at the end of the previous season too.
Yeah, it started end of last season was when it started, and it's continued, and he's become a fine character. Then we pivot to the Guardians training, or somewhat training.
Specifically. Monster Girl is training with a VR headset, and with Robot Man soldiers and stuff. Yep. And again, Robot just messing it up.
Like, I'm surprised he convinced her to even try. Like, the fact that we got this scene where she's using this VR helmet and a robot version of herself, I'm like, I don't know how he convinced her of that. But yeah,
I could use a little more time on this relationship.
Yeah.
I'm invested in this relationship a little bit and want to see how, because it was such a big deal in the first season.
Yeah.
I think we could sacrifice another relationship that they're focusing on this season for this one, but we're not getting it.
I've read up on the comic, and their relationship goes to some extreme places where I imagine that
Monster Girl and Robot. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like there's some epic stuff that comes out of it that you're probably not even expecting where it will go. But
I'm excited.
Yeah, there is if we follow the comics, I can't see how we could.
We better.
But anyways,
Anyway, we get a new superhero on the team. I don't know his name.
Yeah.
I tried to look it up.
I don't know this guy's name, but he is spitting facts.
He's telling it like it is. He's like, facts. This is dysfunctional.
Like, this
as
team
hell.
Is messed up. I love the direct, like, just 100% putting it out there that how dumb everyone's plan of Ant-Man going up Thanos' butt was when he's calling, like, who tried to blow a man up from the inside? And it was like, that's a direct throw. But he just telling it as it is about the team. And our man Black Samson tries to, walk it back. But during that exact time is when the Immortal says he's calling it quits.
Yep.
And so my question is this. I'm like, one is obviously there's no way, even if the Immortal does call it, there's no way Caesar isn't watching him 24/7 because
absolutely. Power. But I think he trusts the Immortal more than he trusted,
Omni-Man. But also, I'm
there is
saying,
no way that Caesar doesn't have 24-hour taps on everyone. Superpowered
but
person.
My thing,
at
I'm just saying, is
level.
The Immortal. Like, Omni Man lived for a long time too, but that we don't know if that was established, but where Caesar knew that. But I'm like, you have a being who is insanely powerful.
Yeah,
who's a he's immortal, and it's like
he's basically Vandal Savage.
What's he gonna do? Like, he's gonna mope for a bit about losing Kate, but eventually, like,
but he's not. He's high level, but he's not Omni Man.
He's the next best thing.
I think he's got counters.
Yeah,
for immortal. Because you get you can get immortal knocked out.
Yeah.
And once you do, you just have to cut him into pieces and separate him, and then he's out of commission. If you cut off his head and keep his head separated from his body, there's not much he can do about it.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I was just like, what's the Immortal do when he's, you've been around so long, like.
yep. And he says he's going home. I'm like, where is that? Mesopotamia or something? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
yeah, he got to be.
Is he going to go hang out in a pit where that asteroid struck?
I mean, that's what Vandal Savage would do. Anyways.
Yeah. I thought they were going to send him to the Bahamas or whatever, and that's where he was going to meet up with Kate again. Yeah.
I mean, we'll see if that. Maybe Cecil's just not pulling that out.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Because maybe she wants to be out and stuff, and so maybe he's like, letting her have her life, but maybe he's like, well, eventually have to call her in because he needs the mortal back.
Yeah.
I will say this, and this is jumping ahead to something farther on, but I just realized, like, to me, there's no way. There is zero option where, and at the end of this episode, it goes away, but still, that Cecil would let Mark have 2 days off a week with the next best guy off the team. Like, there's no, with the immortal quitting, I was like, how? How did Mark swing that deal? There's no way Cecil would agree to that.
Well, it doesn't work out very well.
It doesn't. No, but I'm just saying, when that, I just was thinking about it, like, there's, with the immortal leaving, there's no, like, as our dreadlocked guy.
I mean, what choice do you have if he just says, either I'm out? Look, Cecil knows. This is he just playing the game?
Yeah.
He knows, because it's like the next week, he's just like, okay, well, that's over, you know? Then
in the relationship,
we get Rick's nightmare. Why?
I think something's going to happen so far is
an avenue for Donald to work out some of his stuff.
Which but I'm I just did like Donald's scene with Rick later on. Yeah. But yeah, overall. Because, I mean, that thing is, and that you could say that's the fault of, you know, a show versus a comic where you can have more time. Because that thing is like, we were introduced in season one to Rick as Williams, like, he's interested in this guy. They barely had met before Rick was swept away.
Yeah.
And now that the fact, like, suddenly Rick's back, at, like, no offense to William, but I'm like, okay, this guy just had his life uprooted and all this stuff. You don't send him back to the guy that he was kind of sort of dating for a day before. He's back with his family, his parents, or, you know, whatever. Like, so I'm just like, why is
he's not going back to college for a while, that's for sure.
So it's just like, it just feels so.
And also, why is Rick so important that he got his body put back
together?
I mean, it had to cost millions, tens of millions.
One thing I thought was going to be revealed today before it turned out it was just Sinclair. You know, with his making some more rods, and I thought maybe that secretly Cecil had kept Rick, you know, as an Omni Man fighter.
Gotcha.
And I thought that maybe that was going to be the big
reveal.
Maybe
he's got a robot
is
body.
I thought, like, while Mark was fighting with the Viltrumite chick, I thought he was going to be like, we got to activate Rick. And I was like, oh, I was like, that's where it's going to come in. But that did not, I mean, not saying that isn't going to happen, but. That's a possibility.
But let's move on to stories we really care about.
Yes, Donald.
Best story of the second half of the season, Donald.
Yes.
For sure. He's trying to resign. He's like, you've messed me around too much, Cecil.
I can't
trust
you.
Straw. And Cecil's like, well, let's sit down in front of this computer and let me show you something. Logs him in with the max level password.
Yep.
He's like, start watching these videos.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we find out that Donald has died 39 times before.
This is not the first time Donald's been
horrifically
rebuilt.
Horrifically. Yes.
I mean, so I wrote this down, though, from watching this and also his later scene with Rick. I'm like, don't get me wrong. Invincible's cool. Rick is having a great character arc. Black Samson could be a great guy. Immortal.
Yeah.
Sure. But the real hero, Donald's a fucking hero. Like, knowingly keep. One is like, it doesn't seem like he's getting, I mean, he probably does have to some degree, but it doesn't seem like he's getting like super powered upgrades. And this man gets up every day and is willing to commit himself to the point that he's murdered. And he just keeps coming back. And like, as he says a little bit later, it's like, because I just see every time I've died. And I'm just like, Donald's
the sacrifice.
Donald's a fucking hero. No powers. And he's like, I'm stepping up to the plate.
Yeah.
We need more Donald.
Heaven, the gates, the guy watching the gates, he's just like another Donald showed up every time. I'm like, quit sacrificing your shit.
He's like, we can't keep taking on Donald. He has his own wing.
Bring over the cumulus. just fantastic.
Yep.
Get a brief scene where Mark goes to talk to the dean.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Cecil just places a call.
Yeah.
And be like, I can't tell you why, but this kid.
I mean, it doesn't even come from Cecil. It comes from like the governor of the state or whatever, because Cecil contacts him and like, hey, dude, need you to full ride this kid, whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
just be like, he's got
but also,
connected family or something.
Also,
yeah.
I don't think Cecil wants him in college, honestly. Like, one thing this dean says that I'm like, he kind of got to point is like, he says you need to commit to something. And it's like, that could be college, or, and they kind of show Amber at this point, but I'm like, it's not Amber, or something else. I'm like, yeah, you need to commit to something else. And it's not college, and it's not Amber. It's freaking saving the fucking world.
Yeah.
I have some huge qualms with Mark from this episode that I just realized, especially this Anessa, the Vulture Mark, who shows up, opened my eyes to some stuff. I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing, Mark? We're gonna talk about Mark a little bit
but
later.
But no, yeah, he shouldn't be going to regular college. He should be like taking online classes or something like that. Something that works around his schedule a little more, because he can't be taking those 16 hours and getting all that done. Yeah,
he
needs possible. The whole course in front of him when he goes on a 6 week space trip that he can just read and do all the coursework while he's out there, and then bring it back with him.
100%.
It's like a Vulture Mite ate my homework. Seance dog ate my homework.
Yeah. Like,
I tell you what, if Paul turns out to be a son of a bitch, I'm gonna lose it.
Deb doesn't deserve it. This woman is great. I mean, not only is she still, you know, out here, independent woman holding down a job and all this stuff, takes on her ex-husband's child, and not just takes him, just full on in. She's in. She's like, we're a family, the three of us. Like, she's full on in.
Something's got. She's chewing the food and puking into a bowl for him. Like, I'm surprised. I'm really surprised they didn't just show us her doing that.
Yeah.
Instead of like telling us off screen that she did it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Paul, her coworker that she's her partner that she's selling houses with, has asked her on a date, which I thought he was going to do a couple episodes ago. It was clear that he wanted to when he gave her the wine. But how do you be like, oh, here's my ex-husband's purple baby?
Yeah. Yeah. You ease them into it. You ease them in. You know?
Yeah. And here's my son. He's invincible.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And here's the nanny, who's also a top-level government spy.
She's like a weird Mary Poppins. Yeah.
And every once in a while, a weird old guy might just phase into the
room. And we're being recorded all the time.
You still interested?
It's like, hey, you going to invite me in? No. We're going to your place.
And he just fucking sees
But that's him. When we're going to find out that he's evil. Mm-hmm. And boy, Paul cannot be evil.
He can't.
Deb deserves.
Paul needs to be a genuine guy. After Omni-Man, yes, he needs this. One thing.
No, here's what's going to happen. Here's my prediction. It's like, he's going to be there when something goes down, and his brains are just going to get splattered over the wall nonchalantly, and Deb is just going to lose it.
Yeah. Yeah. But one thing, so Mark talks about his relationship with Amber, with his mom, and one thing she says, I'm like, but you never did, is he's like, Mark's like, I'm not even sure which is better, telling like the truth or having her know or not. And Deb says that the truth is always better, and I'm like, yeah, but you never actually knew the truth with Nolan. Like, that's one thing I was thinking about. Yeah. I was like, You say that, but you can't even speak from experience, because you found out everything you knew about Nolan
right off
was
the bat,
a lie.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Like, so you found out right off the bat, but also all that was a lie. Like, his persona is Omni-Man.
Yeah, there's that scene later where Mark's talking about it. He's like, every time that my dad said that everything would be all right, he was lying.
Yeah.
He knew that things were not going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you alluded to, we get a brief scene where Rick's thinking about jumping off a building to kill himself. Yep. I don't think that would have worked.
That's what I was about to say. Be honest with you. I was like, I'm not sure, Rick, you might need a taller building, my friend.
Yeah.
the five-story dorm at the college ain't going to cut it for you anymore.
But Donald has a heartfelt talk with, you know, heart-to-heart with him, and talks him off from jumping, you know.
Yep.
You know, it's a good scene. I like the Donald story. Donald
was right up there with Rex of characters who in season one, not that I disliked Donald, but in season one, like, whatever, Donald's here.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no.
I love Donald in season one, honestly.
Yeah, nice.
He's a good character, yeah. And then we get a date night with Amber.
Yep.
Flying around.
Mm-hmm.
She would suffocate and freeze to death going up into the atmosphere.
100%. Also, but if she doesn't, why are you staying local? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If I'm dating a superhero that can take me anywhere, I'm like, hey, it's date night. And he's like, you want to go to the movies? Like, no, I want to go to fucking, I don't know, Istanbul. I don't know, somewhere.
Everest. Like, Antarctica.
Let's go somewhere.
I want to see a polar bear.
Exactly. I'm like, if I'm giving up, like, as we've seen, you know, whether we like the story or not, with Amber, she's giving up a lot to date you. I was like, okay, it's date night.
Mars, moon. Yeah.
I mean, let's go to the pyramids. I don't know. We're not hanging around the town.
The rings of Saturn.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, you can woo a girl, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. But they have a brief conversation while they're eating, and he's like, oh, should I ask for a salary from Cecil? I'm like, you're not getting a salary?
Yeah, yeah, there should be some sort of incentives.
They can't set you up with a book deal like they did with with Nolan. Like
he's like, maybe I should get a part-time job. I'm like, when? How? You're barely.
Well, they were talking about a job board where you just do a one-off job.
Yeah,
but no, he needs a courier job for sure. Mm. You know,
yeah,
just flying stuff around, very, very Spider-Man-esque. You know, just
But then we get introduced to a new Viltrumite, or maybe we've seen her before. Just didn't know her name.
I think she's new. I don't recall seeing her before. Okay. But, Anissa.
Yep.
The Viltrumite Empire. I want to note, she is voiced by Chantel Van Santen, who is in For All Mankind, predominantly. Mm. Yeah, fantastic.
Mm, yeah. Nice. So she shows up, and basically she wants to talk to Mark and is threatening Amber during it. And I have so many questions about this scene because she calls, and she's not whispering. It's later shown, they're in a public restaurant. She calls Mark Invincible. She also she's not, if you see, when they zoom out the camera, she's not standing on the ground. So everyone should know she's a superpowered being. Yeah. She's flying a little bit off the ground. Yeah. She's in costume. She's holding Amber by her neck. And when they pan out to show the rest of the restaurant, everybody else is just having a chill conversation. Yeah. And I'm like, there is a woman flying to a table away from you, threatening a woman, another woman, who just called a boy who does look kind of like a hero you all know, Invincible, and you're just like, can you pass the Parmesan? Yeah. Like, what the hell is going on in this restaurant?
Well, there's a scene when they're at the comic book convention, and just, like, they're nonchalantly talking as they're walking through the comic
book. Yeah, I
like
that.
There is at least four people in this building that have super hearing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, you're the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I was, the other thing. I wrote that down, I just didn't bring it up, but I was like, should you really be saying that out loud, Amber? I was like, what is going on? But apparently everybody in the restaurant doesn't care. They don't care.
But anyway, they have she holds Amber hostage for a moment and says, like, I want to talk or I'm going to kill her and everybody else here. They go up into the sky and they talk. She's trying to get him to do his duty.
While he
doesn't want to.
While I am not Team Viltrumite, I will say she does really good on arguing her point. I'm just like, Mark, you're going to need to bring some stuff. And I will also say Mark later on when he answers kind of part of her question, does not do a good job.
It reminds me of Angel, the show Angel.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
you've seen it. Like there's a season where they god being from another world or whatever comes in, is like starting to take over because just anybody who sees her just starts worshiping her.
All
that, and they end up defeating her. And one of the big bads comes up and is like, "Okay, you win.
Yeah,
we'll give you all the power. You're on our side now." And they're like, "What?" And they're like, you destroyed paradise. You stopped it all. And they're like, what do you mean? And it's like, well, like, what, she was going to eat like 5 people a day? She was going to save like millions of lives a second.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and everyone was going to be happy and everyone was going to be fed and housed and everything. It was going to be paradise on earth forever. And you guys ruined it.
Yeah.
And they're like, shit.
But yeah, so Mark.
I don't buy it. I don't think the Viltrumite take over.
No.
I don't feel like, first of all, there's going to be a lot of resistance. Mm-hmm. Also, we've seen like what happens in other worlds, you know, through the brain guy.
I'm not, so, like I said, I'm not agreeing with her. Like I said, I have all this fight. I'm just saying her argument sounds sound and Mark's rebuttal is terrible.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Well, he hasn't gone to college yet, man. He's not a eloquent debater yet.
So he gets in a fight with Anissa, and we see that just the power difference. And this scene right here made me just realize something of why I am just insanely annoyed with Mark. Because he knows. We've complained about the Mark Amber storyline.
Yeah.
And even to in more insane scale, the fact of him dwelling on college. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Mark can't have a life, but the thing is, he was just on a planet.
Yeah.
With Viltrumites, who honestly, Mark held his own okay against the two there, but they still won. And Anessa's on a power level above that. They even say she's faster than Nolan. So I'm like, even before Anessa, but you were just on a planet with Viltrumites who said you have 1 year.
Yep.
And so you get
he's
home
already wasted a couple of
and
months.
You mope around and you're like, my girlfriend, your girlfriend fucking dead, Mark, if the Viltrumites come.
So how long has it been is my question, because He was on the bug planet for a couple of months before he could even make it back.
Yeah, and then probably it's been about Earth a month or two, maybe.
So
I'd say five, probably.
Yeah.
He probably has
maybe
seven left.
Half his time, yeah.
But, yeah, so that's my first off. I was like, Mark, you should have gotten, even if you, one is like you were saying, and actually see play out, should have told Cecil as soon as he got home. But even if you didn't want to bring Cecil in because he didn't trust him, you should not be worried about school or you should be in the fucking gym. I don't know what a Vulturemite gym looks like, but you already know your dad can kick your ass.
Yeah.
The two guys on Vulturemite were, you obviously can level up some, but they still were more. And that was just two. There's a whole army. And now Nessa shows up and she just completely obliterates you. I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then even more so, I just started to realize why I'm even more upset of Mark about all this is, like, once again, not saying you can't have a life, but until you get this Vulturemite stuff sorted out, you gotta focus on the thing is, your dad, before he left, told you this already, that if I leave, they're just going to send another.
Yeah.
And your dad, before he left, kicked your freaking ass, so you know you are not on any power level of any Vulturemite. And the fact that after your dad left, I get the moping, I mean, mourning, because it's like you're a huge betrayal, sure. But once you come out of that morning stupor, the fact that you were like, well, time to go to college and see how things go with Amber, instead of being like, oh, yeah, dad kicked my ass and said, oh, they're just going to send somebody else. And then after that, now your dad shows you, or you, because you go there, you're shown by your dad just how outpowered you are, and you're still go back to Earth like, well, wonder what's up with Amber in school. I'm like, no, motherfucker! Yeah. Like, I am so pissed at Mark.
Look, this semester is definitely lost.
Yeah.
Okay, you just throw in the towel in this semester.
Yeah.
Like, with the talk that he has with the dean. It's like, you've lost half the coursework. You're not catching up from this, right?
Yeah.
You should at least just throw that in the towel and then go collect the weapons that you found in the books.
Mm-hmm. Last episode when he doesn't go with Alan, I was like, oh, sweet, let's go. I'm just like I said, especially after seeing this episode, I'm just like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
What the hell?
He says, like, hey, I've got, you know, but when the fight's there, I'll be there.
And it's, yeah, but when
I'm like, the fight's there.
That's what also he says, when the fight's there, I'm like, they're not, like, I mean, I guess we don't know. It's like, they're not going after Alan and his crew yet. They're coming for Earth. The fight's going to come to you, and Alan's not going to be there because he's off getting the fucking weapons that you should have already gotten with him.
Yeah.
And it worked out, they took, like, I don't know if the Resistance knows where the Vulturemites are moving, but one thing we know for sure is they're coming to Earth in a year.
Yeah.
So that's another reason you still went with Alan to the Resistance to be like, hey, I have, like I said, probably at this point, 7 months. Maybe they do know, but if they don't, it's like, I know where the Vulturemites are going to be in 7 months. We can prepare a united front. We could be prepared for them when they show up. But he's not. He's just dicking around. I'm like, once again, what are you thinking?
He's just a stupid kid.
He's a real stupid
kid. He's still like 18 or 19, man.
I feel like 18-year-old me, if I was in this exact same scenario, where I knew, A, I am one of the only possible ways to save the world. Like, it's a lot to take on for an 18-year-old. Don't get me wrong. But still, if I know that, either A, I'm getting ready for it, or B, I'm not doing – I'm running, like, with my tail. But, like, that's another option. Like, I'm not saying it's a great thing. It's like, the fact that Mark's sticking around on Earth, like, they're coming. So either A, get ready, or B, get the fuck out of town. Like, go find a new planet like your dad did and start a family there. Like, but just sticking around, acting like nothing's happening is moronic. I feel like 18-year-old me would have made – I'm not saying maybe I wouldn't be the hero, but I wouldn't be on Earth anymore either. I'd be like, I wonder what's going on Saturn or farther.
But he gets his ass kicked by Anissa.
Yeah, soundly.
Anyway, and then she leaves before killing him.
Yep.
And he goes back to...
Do you know why she didn't kill him?
Because it's not her place, not her job.
I mean...
He's still got a mission. I don't know why. Why?
Nope, because they actually alluded to this episode before about Alan did, is the Vulturemites are in decline.
Yes, I do know that. I do know that, and that's why...
They rarely kill each other.
Can we do some... Should we do spoiler on that? No, we shouldn't.
No,
we
no.
shouldn't. But yes, there are reasons why every Vulturemite life is precious.
Exactly.
Yes. So anyway, he goes back to Amber after she's been just huddled up in the corner or on the bed, like,
as
freaking
you do
out.
When a woman who could have snapped your neck in two in an instant almost did it.
And they have a little breakup.
Yep.
Which I'm surprised took this long.
Long overdue.
I really like if this was my natural progression of the story, Amber would have been like, had some things that happened while he was away in space for 4 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would have got back and be like, you were gone. I don't know. I could only wait so long. I'm 18.
Yep.
My hormones are going crazy. I'm in college. I'm getting drunk. Okay. Shit happens. you know, and I'd been like, okay, that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mark would have been upset.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. As it, I mean, they hadn't even been dating that long before he bounced. Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
You've only had sex the one time. Yeah. Like, you know.
I wrote that down too. Is also apparently everyone, including Cecil, everyone forgets Nolan's powers when he's gone. Because, like, one of Cecil keeps telling Mark during his fight with him, like, tell her that you'll go along with her, but we won't. And I'm like, C can hear you. Remember Nolan when he told you he can hear stuff on the other side of the planet? C can hear you. And then also when Amber's asking him, oh, crap, not okay. Oh, how did C find us? And I'm like, because she can hear. Once again, like, and maybe Amber doesn't know that, but when Mark's like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean? Your dad literally told you how insanely powerful. Yeah. And you, even Mark, at one point they showed, like, they haven't touched on it again. It, like, showed Mark experiencing being his super hearing. So it's like, you can hear people like Rachel. What do you mean? How did she find you? Like, it's just like, do you guys Nolan?
I thought was when here. Anissa showed up, she was going to be like, we need to talk, and they go into space, and she'd be like, you must mate with me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is going to get real, real fast.
It's about to escalate insanely.
Why else would she be here?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, breakup happens. And then he gets a call from Langstrom, the brain guy, who started out in the first half of this second season, or second half of this first,
he was
of the second season.
He was going to be the big bad, and now it's just like, hey.
I assume he's going to be very prominent in the next episode. Yeah. He's got mom and the baby and Oliver.
Just goes from bad to worse with Mark. He, like, literally, A, just watched a woman, or got his woman he loves get almost murdered, then got his ass kicked, then got broken up with, and then mom calls, and he's like, hey, he probably was like, oh, I could probably use someone to talk to, and instead of fucking Langstrom. So I'm just like, the pearls of being a hero.
I hesitate to call it a mid credit scene because it was like we got two
parts of credits, and then
it just went to a mid credit scene, and it's Alan the alien rolling around, he runs into a Viltrumite ship in space. The odds of this are astronomical. One in a Googleplex.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to run into a Viltrumite ship.
Space is so empty. And the fact that he runs into
Anissa, of all people.
Yeah.
Not just a Viltrumite ship, but a Viltrumite prison ship.
But we get confirmation that Alan's power upgrade. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Gets hit really hard twice.
I mean,
not even a scratch.
It shows that how much more powerful he is than Mark right now, because it's just like, she just got done totaling Mark, and then comes and punches him, and he's like, that didn't hurt too bad.
Well, it also proves that, like, when he had his little spat with the immortal, would have just wrecked the immortal.
Would have decimated the immortal, for sure. He takes a couple hits, doesn't feel it, lays one out on Anissa, and like I said, I think he pretty sure they could have taken her right here, but Alan realizes, this is my chance to infiltrate.
Yep.
And so he fakes being knocked out and to get taken onto the ship. And I'm pretty sure is Alan's going to save Nolan.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
We'll see that hopefully next episode or maybe next season.
You're going to ask him about the weapons and where the weapons are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. That's going to be good.
I mean, what other powerful beings is he going to get from the Viltrumite prison ship?
Yeah, who else is on the prison ship? Well, I mean, I think probably not many, because the only reason they haven't killed Nolan yet is they're trying to get information and also trying to get him back to the cause, because as we already said, you know, there's not that many Viltrumites are in decline, so they don't want to kill Nolan if they don't have to. So I imagine anybody else in this prison ship, I imagine Alan, well, they said they were going to dissect him, but I imagine Alan wouldn't be, like, held for that long, because they're just kill him, let's open him up. So he might not find anybody other than Nolan. I mean, I don't know if there's any other rogue Viltrumites, but
Anyway, good episode.
Better than last week, I'll say.
As always, you can find us on our website, watchingitpod.com. There you can find links to our social media and to email us, watchingitpodcast@gmail.com. Donnell, what else should they do?
Well, I mean, next week is it, folks. Season 2 comes to an end, so I hope you're ready for it.
Who knows what we're covering after that?
I'm not, get ready to check that out and give us any range views, 5 stars. If you have any idea of what we could cover after that, send that to us. And thank you so much for listening.